edition. It is well known that a Swiss, Councillor Horner of Zurich, sailed some years ago round the world on board a Russian vessel, the Podesta, commanded by Captain Kreuzenstern. They discovered a number of islands, and one among the rest of a considerable size and great fertility, situate to the southwest of Java, near the coast of Papua, or New Guinea, hitherto unknown to navigators and which appeared to them worthy to be examined. They landed accordingly, and to the great surprise of the crew, but particularly of Mr. Horner, they found this island, which they had conceived to be uninhabited, already in the possession of a European family, who met them on the bank and saluted them in German. The family consisted of a father, a mother, and four sons of robust and active appearance, who willingly communicated to Mr. Horner the history of their adventures. The father had been a pastor or clergyman of West Switzerland, who, having lost his fortune in the revolution of 1798, and reflecting on the family he had to bring up, resolved to become a voluntary exile and to seek in other climates the means of support. He sailed accordingly with his wife and children, four sons, from 12 to 5 years of age for England, where he accepted an appointment of missionary to Otaheite. Not that he had any desire to take up his abode in that island, but that he had conceived the plan of passing from thence to Port Jackson and domiciliating himself there as a free settler. He possessed a considerable knowledge of agriculture, and, with the aid of his sons, had hoped to gain for himself there that advantageous establishment which his own country, convulsed with the horrors of war, denied him. He turned all that yet remained to him into money, and then vested his little property in seeds of various sorts and a few cattle as a farming stock. The family took their passage accordingly, satisfied with this consolation that they should still remain together, and sailed with favorable winds till they came in sight of New Guinea. Here they were attacked by a most destructive and unrelenting tempest, and it is in this crisis of their adventures that the Swiss pastor, or family Robinson Crusoe, begins the journal, which he liberally consigned to the care of Mr. Horner, who carried it with him into Switzerland, and from the manuscript, thus brought over from one of the remotest parts of the earth, the following narrative has been faithfully printed. Part 1. Chapter 1. A Shipwreck and Preparations for Deliverance. Already the tempest had continued 6 terrible days, and far from subsiding on the 7th, its fury seemed to increase. We had wandered so materially from the right track, and were so forcibly driven toward the southeast, that not a creature on board knew where we were. The ship's company were exhausted by constant labor and watching, and the courage which had hitherto sustained them now began to fail. The masts had been shivered to pieces and cast into the sea. Several leaks appeared, and the ship began to fill. The sailors forbore from swearing, and were now employed in prayers, or in making the absurdest vows as the condition of their release from danger. Each recommended his soul to God, but at the same moment thought of contriving the best means for preserving his life. "My children," said I to my four boys who clung to me in terrible harm, "God can save us, for nothing is impossible to him. But if he sees fit that we should not be saved, we must not murmur at his decree, but rely that what he does is most for our good, that we shall be near him in heaven and united through eternity. Death may be well supported when it does not separate those who love." My excellent wife wiped the tears that were falling on her cheeks, and from this moment became more tranquil. She encouraged the youngest children who were leaning on their knees, while I, who owed them an example of firmness, was scarcely able to resist the grief which assailed my heart at the thought of what would most likely be the fate of being so tenderly beloved. We all fell on our knees and supplicated the God of mercy to protect us, and the emotion and the fervor of the innocent creatures are a convincing proof that even in childhood, devotion may be felt and understood, and that its effects, tranquility.